and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional. And welcome back, everybody, to New Retirement Radio, here on WTCM News Talk 580. Of course, with Prout Financial Design, we welcome back to the studio live today, Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on a live show. And listeners can probably tell, yes, that is indeed live. They're live and with us on January 6th. Nothing is happening. Little snow here in northern Michigan.
A little bit, that's good.
A little cold.
Yep.
Actually went out for a walk this morning. Before I went out, I thought, gee, you know, 16 degrees, that is going to be cold. You know, I'll just do the Nordic thing. I'll put in lots of layers and all that stuff. And it was incredible. But was that, northeast wind.
Was that before wind. You did your 300 push-ups?
Out my Williamsburg way. No, that was yesterday. Actually, that was last night.
Now, what are you doing push-up-wise? Heidi is here.
Just tell us, what are you doing, Dennis? Well, there are six runs, if you will.
Sets?
Different sets, yeah, of push-ups. And I did about 305 last night.
Seriously? I was he's doing 300.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I try to do a walk about three times a week as well, 2.25 miles or so. And it was brisk, indeed, but refreshing. Oh, yeah.
Northern Michigan. I just did a little shoveling this morning.
Yeah, but it's fun. 8 to 10 inches or so out there in Williamsburg Way. Huh? Very nice. Pretty stuff. We'll take it, right?
Yeah, people that want to play in the snow, that's good news.
You betcha.
It was very light and fluffy out by Long Lake.
It was
very easy shoveling. It wasn't that heavy stuff, so.
Heidi Thompson in today, sitting in the Shay seat where I can see you today instead of being obscured behind our computer monitors.
Yes, I moved over. Hey, Shay's not here.
So. Welcome. Welcome back, Heidi Thompson and Dennis Prout, here to talk about?
A lot. We have a lot on this schedule today. We're going to be talking about tax brackets and inflation. Tax brackets have actually expanded, so there are some good news here. New RMD, new required minimum distribution tables, means you can take a little bit less this year if you would like, generally, depending on the value of your account. There's always qualifications with this. You know, these financial people.
There's a lot
they
of
say
pieces.
Something and then they qualify it.
Yep, there's a lot of pieces that make up
anymore?
That number has a lot of things in it, and so there's a lot of things that can move that will influence it.
Yes, because... generally, the stock market, we don't have to say generally there. The stock market was up last year, so that has made a difference to a lot of accounts. Social Security, COLA was increased almost 6%. People will start seeing that in their checks yet this January here. And lastly, the federal estate tax level, the amount that passes outside of tax, to be clear. Now, for those who look at the internet and follow our email blast, the email blast was a little, it didn't state it quite as succinctly as I just did. That's why I clarified it. So estate taxes are less this year. Interesting, eh? So taxes are actually down.
So what do we have? 15 after the hour today. So we have a lot. You're covering what's new in 22.
What's new in 22. So first, tax brackets. I was talking to clients yesterday, and I said, take a look at this. The brackets for married filing joint your income, your taxable income, can be up to 83.5. Last year was 81 and change at the 12% bracket. Now, that bodes well for those who want to do Roth conversions. And there is so much confusion about that. Well, aren't I limited to $7,000 on a Roth conversion? And the answer to that, Heidi, is?
No.
No, thank you.
Hmm.
So there are no limitations on Roth conversions. It depends on how much you want to pay in the tax. You've got an IRA. You're 80 years old. You could, if with proper advice, do a Roth conversion. Why would you want to do that? Well, of course, it's not just about you and your life expectancy. It's about those that follow. Could they use it as well? Tax-free income. Dear, I've always wanted you to have tax-free income. Oh, well, yes, I'm fine with that. You know, that sort of thing. That's what the conversations we all have in our families, right?
And another thing with conversions is you can do multiple if you wanted. If you want to do a small conversion at the beginning of the year because you don't know exactly what your tax situation is going to be, and then maybe take another look at it in October or November, and you could maybe do another one if you have that space in that bracket.
You mean just convert some of your money over?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And these conversions, what does it mean? That money then grows tax-free. And all conversions come out without penalty as long as you're over the age of 59 and a half when you've done your conversion. All amounts that you've converted come out without penalty. Now, those amounts that haven't been in there 5 years from the growth portion only then could possibly be taxed if you take them less than 5 years, within 5 years. But the principal always comes out first in terms of no tax and availability. Generally, you want to think about, okay, could I leave this money in there 8 to 10 years? That's about the appropriate amount of time to have paid back the tax that you paid up front, given that it grew tax-free.
I think there's a question in the room,
Dennis. Yes, I see a question.
Yes, I have a question.
There. Yes.
All right, so let's just say, and these are numbers I'm just making up. Suppose you have $500,000 in your IRA.
Sure.
And you want to convert it, or some of it, to your Roth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've got to pay a tax up front, right?
Yes, you have to pay the
tax.
Can
you take that tax money, can you take the money to make your tax payment out of your IRA?
You could.
You
That's
could.
That's generally not as efficient. The three best things to think about in terms of does a Roth or could a Roth make sense? Can you pay the tax with outside monies? We've saved some money. We want to pay the tax with that. Number two, could you leave it in there for 8 to 10 years? Number three, do you anticipate your tax bracket will be the same or higher in future? Same or higher.
And with inflation right now, just generally speaking, if you have the money to pay that tax when you convert, that's a pretty good investment, isn't it, instead of letting it sit in the bank?
Exactly. Because the tax brackets have not inflated. In fact, they've deflated. Because the amount that passes within the 12% bracket itself is $83,000 of taxable income. So for anyone who's got income at that level or higher, all of your income up to $83,000 of taxable income is taxed then at 12%. Most people would say, now that's cheap money.
Yeah.
Indeed. So take advantage of today's very low tax rates.
But make sure you talk to somebody about your individual situation because you want it to make sense.
Thanks for covering us, Heidi. That's always important, the details, you know. It's important to have an advisor. We were talking about these some of these private letter rulings that are not necessary and having someone to blame. If a company makes a mistake and you have an advisor, guess who gets to fall on the sword? Your advisor.
Mm.
In most cases, the advisor can save you a ton of penalties and monies if the custodian or the advisor were at fault.
Rather than if you had done it yourself.
Rather you having done that yourself. Now, we're going to get into some detail on that particular issue. I think you'll find that helpful. Now, another thing is, inflation. We're going to be discussing that. Inflation does not appear to be transitory at all. Mm. This is not a temporary thing. We were discussing the Christmas sweater just before the show from the Fed. Inflation is transitory. It's been suggested that they should retire that ahead of time, given that sweater is really not working. It's not working. The November CPI, the Consumer Price Index, came in at 6.8% year over year. And it's amazing what it doesn't include. So given what it doesn't include and how conservative it is, it's generally increases in rents as one of the components of it versus increases in actual real estate prices. That's one component that's not even included. In fact, it's been compared to when it did include those amounts or markers, if you will. It would have been much closer, it's been said, 10 to 12% or so, the actual CPI rate for this last year. Energy for the month of June, year over year, was up 24%. July, 23%. August, 25 almost percent. So energy is one significant component that we all can point to as being a significant changer in the year-over-year CPI change, and a big component of that year-over-year change, rather. So given where what inflation is doing and that tax rates are not, think about how you can invest looking forward to hedge against inflation and take advantage of today's very low brackets. Obviously, these brackets may change later in this year. We may see some significant changes in 23 because, of course, the Fed is going to want to keep up with inflation with their tax brackets. Of course.
So are people that have money looking for... I mean, I guess they are looking for inflation-protected investments, like where they can park their money that will hedge against inflation.
Oh, we've seen so many. We've had so many clients come in with, frankly, in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the year, with too much money in savings accounts, earning zero, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do I do with these monies that I want to be relatively secure? So we've had a lot of conversations about that. Yes, indeed. Because inflation is really starting to, everyone's feeling that pinch, I think. And how do we protect ourselves against this? You bet.
And I don't know if you can answer this, but in your anecdotal observations, do you see at a time like this with high inflation, people look for investments? Art and antiques, is this a time when people might begin to look at those markets?
That's way beyond what I'm looking at. Yeah, I don't even get into that. I do read articles about those sorts of things, but...
We have a text question for you.
Go for it.
Addressed to Dennis P. Retirement Man.
I love it.
And I didn't know this
hey
until
guys,
I get the text.
Welcome.
There was a Powerball winner.
There was a Powerball winner, yes.
$632 million.
Unreal.
Very nice.
Two winners, one in California, one in Wisconsin. So about $316 million each. And the texter says, the winner in California pays 12.3% state income tax, 12.3%.
Wow.
The one in Wisconsin pays 7.65%.
Unreal.
Wow. Big difference.
How about that?
So I guess it's not you, Ron, since it's Wisconsin.
I know.
And not Michigan.
It's not Colleen or I.
Oh, well.
We wouldn't be here. If you came in and said, where's Ron and Colleen? You would know.
It would be a different show.
The Wisconsin cheese state stays in the news, eh? So the uniform lifetime table, this is basically the life expectancy table, has been expanded for those who have to take required minimum distributions or RMDs. Anyone who is over the age of 72 has to take an RMD from their own IRA. Now, if you are a non-spouse beneficiary, generally a child of an IRA owner who has inherited an IRA, you're going to have to take distributions now if it's been received here recently over a 10-year period. But for those who are over the age of 72, own your own retirement account, sometimes you have to take RMDs from those. All the time you have to take from your own IRA. The divisor for those who are now age 72, it's not 70 and a half anymore. It is the age of 72, the year in which you turn 72, you have to take an RMD. that divisor is 27.4 or 3.65%. Now, you just may want to say, well, it's approximately 4% that you've got to take out of an IRA. For each 100,000, that would be about how much?
$3,065.
$3,650.
Yeah, duh.
Yes. Close.
Are you laughing at me, Heidi?
I am not.
Stop laughing.
It's hard to do math under pressure.
It is, always, of course. We can just say 4,000 around it. Now, if you are the age of 80, it's about 5%. 5%, 4.95, just to give people an idea. So in that case, for every 100,000, about $5,000 you'll have to take in 2022. Now, let's just talk about this for a minute. At age 90, 8.2%.
Wow.
At 8,200. By the time you're 100 years old, 15.63%. We can just say almost 16 grand for each 100,000. Now, they've also expanded. It used to be the RMD tables only went to age 111. Mm. Now, it's 120.
Wow. Yeah.
120.
They want you to clear that out as you get toward the closer?
That is a great question. Guess what the percentage is at age 120, Ron?
Of people that are what? Oh, what the percentage
is? Of the amount you have
25%.
To draw. Double that.
Oh, geez.
50%. They're saying your life expectancy at 120 plus is 2 years. So there it is. 50%. Yeah. If I live that long.
How many people plan to live that long when they do their financial planning?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it seems to be the extension for most folks is, you know, we got the conversation yesterday. I've got some relatives who lived well over 100. I could make it to 100. So, you know, we never know. So sometimes you may want to plan for longer life expectancies. You know, the old quote, if I had known I'd live this long, I would have taken so much better care of myself.
Yeah, right.
You bet. So those RMDs are a continuance. And if you don't take the RMD, the penalty is how much, Heidi?
Oh, 50%.
50% of the amount that you didn't take.
Wow.
So it's serious.
And if you make a mistake on that, what should one do if they don't take it all? Any ideas?
Well, you want to go in and see a financial professional, but you also want to make sure that you take care of the situation as soon as possible. By ignoring it, it will make the situation worse and worse. So
why will it make it worse and worse?
Well, penalties will add up. You're going to have another RMD the next year. How much you're taking out of your account in 1 year is going to affect your income, and so on. There's a lot of dominoes that will affect your situation.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't overlook that, and that penalty only continues to grow over time the longer you haven't taken it. So the mea culpa. Take care of it as quickly as possible, possibly with an apology letter to the IRS, which we have helped a few folks who've come in to us for advice on that specific issue. We're not even yet clients. So we take care of all of our RMDs, all the RMDs for our own clients. But for those of you who are not clients, we have done this in the past and put appropriate blame where it was due. And the penalty was avoided in those particular cases. Now, so the RMD tables, you have to keep track of those and make certain that you are taking the appropriate amounts. It's based on the value of your accounts as of 12/31 of 2021. Mm-hmm. And make certain that you're taking the RMD from each of those accounts respectively. You have a 403B over here, a 401K over there, an IRA in Traverse City, you know, whatever that might be. Generally, you're going to have to take an RMD from each account.
Yeah, now Dennis is really getting into the details because there's a lot of aggregation rules. And what that means is there are some accounts where you can take a withdrawal from one if it's a similar and cover your RMD for other accounts similarly titled. But like Dennis was talking about, if you have multiple plans, you have a 401k, 403b, there's different aggregation rules for all those different kinds. So you really want to get some information on what's the correct.
How do people amount. Without financial planners, or who don't at least meet with a financial planner, how do they avoid making mistakes?
Well, often they're going to be communicated with from those financial companies, but that's where, you know, a slip between the hand and the lip, or however that goes. It's amazing the details that get lost because they're not on top of that, and or they simply miss it. So, yes.
It's happened.
Shea Stats, Heidi,
which are
please.
Now Heidi Stats.
Heidi Stats.
It's new in 22.
Today.
Yeah. 2020.
2022 is sort of fun to say as well.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we have some information on the S&P. The S&P has gained an average of 11.1% per year total return over the last 50 years. So that's from 1972 to 2001. The index has been positive in 17 of the last 19 years. Over the long term, the S&P has been up during 40 of the last 50 years, so 80% of the time, and that's from BTN Research. So I would just point out, though, that's 80%, so 20% of the time, it didn't go up. So you have to remember, there's still volatility out there, and it's not a sure thing.
As shown at the end of the market, toward the market close there yesterday, quite a bit of volatility given the hawkish view of the Fed. They're threatening or rising or raising interest rates, rather.
Sooner than expected, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So then there's one on jobs. The lowest 3.5% and the highest 14.7% unemployment rates in the United States since 1970 occurred 2 months apart in 2020. Our jobless rate in November 2021 was 4.2%, and that's from the Department of Labor.
Great quote, information from Larry Kudlow, who is a Fox News, I think he's got his own business show, to be accurate.
I think he started on one of the business channels, and then he went into the Trump administration, and now back on TV again.
Now back on TV. But what he was saying about this quit rate, as he referred to it, the number, the percentage of folks who are quitting their jobs is an indicator of how confident they are of finding a better position. And he said the best thing the government could do about this, surprise, stay out of it. Let the market deal with it. The advice for the day for the government, please stay out of it.
Do you know the term quit rate? I read a study, and it, you know, it's targeted toward large corporations, but they said if you don't offer your employees the work from anywhere option, your quit rate will go up like 30% or something. In other words, a lot of employees, if they have the capability of working from home or from Key West or where Rocky Mountains, they expect that the company will say, as long as you do your work, you can be anywhere. If not, they say your quit rate will go up if you don't offer them.
Two conversations in the last 2 days with folks who are doing that exact same thing. Our own architect, designer with a new office, is now moving to the place she used to work for in Florida, but doing it remotely here in Traverse City, and excited about it. So
how about
it's,
that?
It's
happening.
Put in use. You bet.
So our next one is sort of funny in light of what Dennis was talking about, the longevity tables or the life expectancy tables. So longevity has been going up as a trend. So the government or the regulatory agencies have responded, and they came up with these new tables. And the length of time that it takes for something like that to work its way through the system, then we hit a pandemic, which you just have to smile. By the time that they respond to something, something else has happened. But the life expectancy at birth of an American baby in 2020 was 77 years, down 1.8 years from 78.8 years in 2019. And the largest single life expectancy decline since 1943.
The life that's saying something. Since 1943, we've not seen a life expectancy decline as we saw from 19 to 20.
Yep.
But they say that you did have a lot of elderly people who may have had their their death accelerated by COVID.
Exactly.
And died maybe 1, 2, 3 years before they normally would have. Mm-hmm. So as a result, maybe in the ensuing years, you'll see the death rate go down. Possible. But the life expectancy at 78.1 down to 78.8 down to 77.1.
77, yeah.
Wow.
And the final bit of this is the 2020 life expectancy number is just under the 2003 life expectancy number of 77.1. So we're at 77, and the last time we were around that was back in 2003, and that is the Center for Disease Control. All right, we have one about housing. The average interest rate nationwide on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 3.11% at the end of 2021. The all-time record low national average is 2.65% set on Thursday, which was January 7th, 2021.
Speaking of a non-inflationary trend still at this point, can you imagine getting a 30-year mortgage for 30-year money for 3%? Not bad.
Yeah. Nice, when you sit back to the rates in the 70s and the 80s, it's like, whoa. Oh. So that comes from Freddie Mac. We have some information on oil prices. The price of oil ended 2021 at $75.21 a barrel, up 55% from its 2020 close of $48.52 a barrel. Oil's all-time closing high price is $147.27 a barrel as of July 11th in 2008, and that is from the CME Group.
So we're still at about half what it was at its all-time high.
But still, it's up 55% from a year ago.
We should have the government do something about those oil price increases, shouldn't we?
Stay out of it.
I have one last stat here. The national debt of the United States was $29.495 trillion as of the close of business on Thursday, December 30th, 2021, an increase of $1.75 trillion during the calendar year 2021. And that's from the Treasury Department. So I guess we spent some money last year.
Indeed.
Yep. A little spending problem.
A bunch. You bet. So lots of debt from the federal government, and that's what they're doing, competing for the money supply, and they're also generating significant money supply, and that's what's been driving this economy. That's why the market is trading at all-time highs, among other reasons. Earnings have come up, thank you very much, for a lot of these companies, and it makes it very interesting in terms of prices. Now, as a further, before we take a break here, by the way, Ed Slott is going to be with us, Ed Slott himself, on January 20th, 2022.
On the air right here.
Ed Slott will be with us on the air and talking about what he thinks is important with taxes, IRAs, Roth IRAs, all the rest. And as you know, he is not afraid to share his own opinions about where tax rates are going and how that could possibly impact you.
I always drink a shot of espresso before Ed's on, just to keep up there.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about fast talking. Yes.
Few text questions here.
Sure.
Are there RMDs, required minimum distributions, for Roth IRAs?
The answer to that is generally no, unless you've inherited that Roth from a parent, okay? But if the Roth IRA is your own, there are no RMDs, no required minimum distributions. That's a nice thing. And generally, the amount that you take out is tax-free, non-taxable. It's a great way to diversify a portfolio because it grows very differently than a regular IRA, is taxed very differently, and you don't have to take that RMD, and neither does your spouse. Let's say you're married and you've passed that on to her.
And that RMD,
and or him at him. Some point in the future.
That RMD that's required for beneficiaries, it's not just children, it's anyone who's a beneficiary of a Roth IRA.
Well, anyone who is a non-spouse beneficiary.
Correct, anyone who's a non-spouse. So it could be a niece or nephew is what I was trying to get at.
Thank you.
Good All right, point. Dale has a text question. When is it better to make a contribution to your 401k as a Roth or traditional contribution? or a combination of the two, and where are we at currently?
This is a great question. Talk about where the rubber hits the road. I mean, seriously, putting this to use for yourself. Sat with a family yesterday morning, and I was telling the two daughters as they were sitting with their parents, I said, you know, this stuff is not rocket science, and it's not, can I say this word on the radio, sexy. It's not. The amounts that you put in every month, that's the key to your success financially. For those who've already accumulated that, they can look it back and say, yes, that was a significant key. So putting money in every pay is what you have to do in a 401k. And to put a fine point to that, there is no limitations on how much you can put, what percentage of your total contribution can go into the Roth portion of the 401k. A lot of miscommunication or misunderstanding of the Roth limitations on a 401k, there are no income limitations on a Roth 401k. You are not limited by your income to make a Roth 401k contribution. So let's say you're putting in $500 a month, to keep it simple. You could put all of that into the Roth portion of your 401k if you wanted to. Or you could say, I want to go 50-50, 50% on the Roth side, 50% in the deductible side. So half of it then is in essence deductible from your income for that year. And you can change that percentage allocation just about as often as you want to, depending on the 401k plan.
Right, and that's a great point, Dennis, because I like to use the example, and I think I've used it on the air before, is I have a child in school in college. So I'm trying to keep my income number lower so that we qualify for our financial aid package. So if I put more into the traditional side, that helps me on my FAFSA form versus before I was putting more into Roth. But while she's in school, I'm going to do this and then flip back maybe later. But you can react to your personal circumstance so that you can get the most efficient use.
That doesn't show up. I mean, when you have your adjusted gross income, even though you put some automatically into a traditional IRA, that lowers your income?
It lowers my taxable income.
Oh, taxable income, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so it comes out before the tax. And so the sacrifice that Heidi is making for her daughter still.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, another question for Dennis and Associates. That would be, you're the Associates, Heidi.
I guess so.
With Heidi and Dennis are in from Prout Financial Design. Are inflation-protected bonds a good alternative to bank savings accounts these days? And how do I buy those?
Well, the savings I bonds are really something right now. They're yielding about 7% at last quote that I saw. Not bad. Now, you can purchase those. I believe it's up to $10,000 each, I think.
Not sure.
This is stretching me, I think. But TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protection Securities, you can purchase those from well-known money management firms through ETFs and or mutual funds.
Correct.
And that can be a great way to hedge a portion of your safer money against inflation, and also have very liquid types of assets, because you can get that money out pretty quickly. Mm. And we've actually been recommending those quite a bit for our more conservative clients or their portion of their portfolio.
So buy those from a money management firm. So locally, there would be firms they can go to?
Yes, okay. If they have their own relationship with those firms and or with their financial advisor. Right. Speak to your financial advisor about TIPS or Treasury Inflation Protection Securities.
All right.
They should know of which you speak, of what you speak, rather.
Let's see. Somebody said instead of making your budget tighter, maybe look at increasing your income. All right, that's...
Well, that's always, I think, a positive thing to think about. How can you increase your income? And especially at the beginning of 22, I was listening, mentioned it to Heidi, to Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, on the R-O-H-N, that's rather how his last name is spelled, on the way in this morning. And we all, I think, need that. I'm going to talk about that for a bit here. Do we need to take a break right now, or do we have
one more question, then we can take the break.
I'll just say this. consider seriously, if you're that at that point in your career, how pouring your purse into your own head may be the very best investment for 2022, okay?
All right. I put 22% in my 401k, 16% into Roth, 6% into the taxed side. Does this make sense, or is it too heavy on the Roth side? So 16% into Roth, 6% into traditional.
Depends on where all of your pre-tax money is. If you have IRAs and most of it is in pre-tax money within your 401k, then it may not be. Take a look at your tax bracket. Take a look at how much you're paying to make that investment. But generally, I would say kudos to you for putting that much into the Roth side.
Right, because you want to look at what your future tax bracket could be and the different things like that. There's a lot of variables.
There sure are. We've got a question there on the text line about backdoor Roths. We'll hit that one next week.
Okay.
And because we want to get into, and that is a great question again, so we need to make certain and cover that next week, which we intend to, because that's a good one. And we'll talk about what that means. But Heidi, first, this scam against those who are trying to...
This is a notice that came out from the Office of the Inspector General of Social Security. It's a warning. We've talked about these before on the on air, and usually it's been phone calls that we have talked about before. But now there's sort of a new scam out there, and we just wanted to make people aware of that. Scammers are using U.S. mail delivery to send fraudulent letters. They are asking the person to call a toll-free number to activate their increase in Social Security benefits, which is referring to what Dennis was talking about earlier, the COLA increase. But they are
Hang on. Just when you thought they couldn't get any lower, they did.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so they're just warning because the letters appear to be from a Social Security Administration official, and they are designed to look just like the actual letterhead. But they just want you to know that COLA is automatic for everyone receiving Social Security benefits. You do not have to activate that. So it doesn't require anything on your part. So they did offer a list of things that you can look for to help recognize the sign of a scam. If they threaten to suspend your Social Security number, then it's probably false. If they warn you about being arrested or them taking legal action against you, if they demand immediate payment, if they require payment through gift cards, prepaid debit cards, internet currency, or mailing cash. These are all warning signs that this is not a a actual legitimate letter from the Social Security Administration.
These people can be extremely convincing, so beware.
Right. A few more are they will ask for personal information. They will request that you be secret about it and not tell people. They threaten to seize your bank account. And so we just wanted people to be aware that it's no longer just phone calls out there, that people are sending these letters. And if you have a question, you could call your financial advisor, or you can go to your own portal at Social Security to see what's going on.
Great. Thank you, Heidi. Mm-hmm. We have any time left here, Ron? Okay. All right, so some of the key rulings from 2021. In this particular instance, a 60-day rollover deadline was waived because the IRA custodian erroneously deposited money from a Roth 401k into a traditional IRA instead of a Roth IRA. So you've got after-tax money in a 401k. You have paid the tax on it. It should come out tax-free and go into your Roth IRA tax-free. Well, the custodian erroneously put that in the regular IRA account. Well, what's interesting about this is that the IRA owner requested a private letter ruling from the IRS, which would have most likely included help from an attorney. probably cost around $15,000, because I think the PLR is actually $12,000 now. Mm-hmm. So just estimates where it was totally unnecessary. Instead of spending time and money on a PLR, a private letter ruling, Daryl, in this particular instance, should have worked directly with his IRA custodian to correct the error, which is what we would have recommended in that instance. So it's not just having someone to blame, as we mentioned earlier, in terms of having an advisor on this where they can fall on that sword. It's also making certain that you're not using a shotgun to solve a problem, that it may only take, you know, something obviously quite simpler to get done. A simple letter saying that the custodian messed this up. Please understand that this is not taxable, and we've got this corrected, and it's back in the Roth IRA where it belongs. And the custodian can easily take care of that, too. They'll recognize their own error and return it to that particular Roth IRA. Given these situations, it's important you can not only save yourself monies in the transfer of these accounts, but also have someone to lean on, especially if it gets complicated. And it does happen.
And sometimes it takes some time to get those changes accomplished. So
yes. So that's why we have Ed Slott and Company, and we're looking forward to having Ed here on January 20th.
January 20th would be, what's the date today? The 6th, so 2 weeks.
2 weeks out.
Yep.
2 weeks today. We'll have that on with us, and hopefully Shay will join us next week too. And man, feel better out there. Folks, stay well, eh? And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.